Music. You see, we went through some, let's say, shocking, maybe surprising to some, maybe just straight up emotional for others, set of days in this year, really. It's hard to put words to it, but we're going to try to put music to it. That's what we're going to do right here on Soul Sandwich. And in order to do that, we got some tunes that will hopefully speak to you. So we're going to start off with my main man, Common. Common just knows how to write the poetry of the times. He knows how to write poetry of the streets. And in this song called Letter to the Free, he talks about the prison industrial complex. Now, this is an issue that people know has been around for a while, but he really puts some humanity to it. So I think it's a good way to just kind of start off by acknowledging something that has been a constant regardless of who has been in power. This has been a constant thing for decades. So Common just laying it down, calling it like it is, and that's what we're going to do on this episode of Soul Sandwich. So stay tuned, folks. You're about to get some knowledge.
Southern leaves, southern trees we hung from. Barren souls, heroic songs unsung. Forgive them, Father, they know this knot is undone. Tied with the rope that my grandmother died. Pride of the pilgrims affect lives of millions. In slave days separating fathers from children. Institution ain't just a building, but a method of having black and brown bodies fill them. We ain't seen as human beings with feelings. Will the U.S. ever be us, Lord willing? For now we know the new Jim Crow. To stop, search, and arrest our souls. Police and policies patrol. Philosophies of control. A cruel hand taking hold. We let go to free them so we can free us. America's moment to come to Jesus. Bird sings for freedom to ring. Black bodies being lost in the American dream. Blood a black bean, a pastoral scene. Slavery still alive, check Amendment 13. Not whips and chains, our subliminal. Instead of nigger, they use the word criminal. Sweet land of liberty, incarcerated country. Shot me with your ray gun and now you wanna trump me. Prison is a business, America's the company. Investing in the justice, fear and long suffering. We staring in the face of hate again. The same hate they say will make America great again. No consolation prize for the dehumanized. For America to rise, it's a matter of black lives. And we gon' free them so we can free us. America's moment to come to Jesus.
Yeah.
That was Letter to the Free with Common and Bilal, who is like one of the most amazing singers out there. So highly recommend you check him out. Before we get into some discussion, I got one more track coming your way. And I think it's a good follow-up. I've been late to the whole Hamilton musical experience. But in looking for music that I felt would be a soundtrack to this post-election, I wanted a song that's like all about, you know, an American battle. And this one happens to be an American battle in the Revolution times, Yorktown. And that's what the song is called. It's composed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is the star of Hamilton and also like an incredible rapper himself, an MC. He started out as just a freestyle rapper and look where he's come, man. Like winning Tony Awards left and right. And he has captured the musical spirit of the nation, I feel, at this moment. And you'll see why when you hear the opening lines of this song. So let's get to it. Yorktown by Lin-Manuel Miranda and the team of, and the company, I should say, behind Hamilton.
The Battle of Yorktown, 1781.
Monsieur Hamilton.
Monsieur Lafayette.
In command where you belong.
Are you saying no sweat? We're finally on the field, we've had quite a run.
Immigrants,
we get the job done. So what happens if we win?
I go back to France, I bring freedom to my people if I'm given the chance.
We'll be with you when you do.
Go, lead your men.
I'll see you on the other side.
Till we meet again.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey yo, I'm just like my country, I'm young, scrappy and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot.
Till the world turns upside down.
Till the world turns upside down.
I imagine death so much it feels more like a memory. This is where it gets me. On my feet, the enemy ahead of me. If this is the end of me, at least I have a friend with me. Weapon in my hand, a command of my men with me. Then I remember my allies is expecting me. Not only that, my allies is expecting. We gotta go, gotta get the job done. Gotta start a new nation, gotta meet my son. Take the bullets out your gun, the bullets out your gun. We move undercover and we move as one. Through the night we have one shot to live another day. We cannot let a stray gunshot give us away. We will fight up close, seize the moment and stay in it. It's either that or meet the business end of a bayonet. The code word is Rochambeau, dig me?
Rochambeau.
You have your orders now, go man, go. The American experiment begins with my friends all scattered to the winds. Lawrence is in South Carolina, redefining bravery. We'll never be free until we end slavery. When they finally drive the British away, Lafayette is there waiting in Chesapeake Bay. How did we know that this plan would work? We had a spy on the inside, that's right.
Hercules Mulligan!
Tell a spy on the British government. I take the measurements, information, and then I smuggle it. Huh? To my brother's revolutionary covenant. I'm running with the Sons of Liberty and I am loving it. See, that's what happens when you up against the ruffians. We in the shit now, somebody's gotta shovel it. Hercules Mulligan, I need no introduction. When you knock me down, I get the fuck back up again.
That was Yorktown from Hamilton, the musical. And yeah, those first lines of the song I thought were interesting. Immigrants, we get the job done. But clearly there has been some you know, interesting thoughts on immigrants, to say the least, over the last year. So I felt like this is the time we had to get into like a straight up discussion about this. Like, how much of this election was straight up talk about immigrants? Like, is that what essentially drove Trump to victory? What do you think, John?
Okay, so I'm going to try and keep it brief because, like, this is the type of thing that's just going to go off. But I think what happened was that in a lot of southern states where Hispanic and Latino populations have been growing, that's been making a lot of the white voters there, they've been getting anxious about that, which is terrible. It's like xenophobia through and through. But I think that's where, like, you know, the border wall comes from. That's where all of these fears are coming from. It's because they're seeing these people growing in their community. And it's going to take some time, unfortunately, before they kind of come to terms with it, I think. But, yeah, immigration definitely made this a huge focal point.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Anton?
It definitely was a big focal point of the election, but to a certain extent, I'm not even sure it had anything to do with physical immigrants, because there are a lot of states throughout the red states that went red throughout the middle of the country where the immigrant populations are really small, right? But they still went overwhelmingly for Trump. So I think that he did a decent job of blaming abstract macro level problems on immigrants. Yeah. And it's just simpler to say, yeah, that's what happened, rather than try to explain globalization and a bunch of other extremely complicated issues to them. It's by no means am I saying that they're not intelligent enough to understand it. It's just that if you really want to understand it, you have to put a certain amount of time and effort into it. Mm-hmm. Right? They're fully capable of it. It's just it's hard, and you'd have to sit them down for a week or something, or much, much longer.
Yeah, it's like he definitely was able to scapegoat effectively, and that's that's what it was. It's really the fear of immigrants more than actual immigrants.
Because it comes back to that whole thing about, like, a lot of them weren't exposed to actual immigrants, like, in their community. But then again, there were also plenty who were. Like, in Minnesota, the community of St. Paul has a lot of Somali immigrants or refugees. In comparison to, you know, anywhere else in Minnesota. Minnesota in general has been getting a lot of them because apparently there's a lot of refugee agencies based there. And I guess they have enough resources to get families in there, right? So I was listening to this This American Life podcast about it. And when you're hearing from the people there, they're just like, of course there's already a lot of bad, there's just bad things being said about Muslims in general. But these are Muslims, they're black, and they don't sound American, and they just don't look American to them. For their conception of what American is, I'm not saying that they aren't. It's just that's how they view them. That we got to be honest. Like, that's, and to them, it's like a very sudden thing. And then when that, it's just the worst thing for their community to happen. But like when an attack happened, I think in a mall, a stabbing attack, I believe happened, and it happened to be a Somali immigrant refugee, fit the check boxes, you know? So then it only got more amplified from there. So again, not that I'm not trying to legitimize their views, but at the same time, they will cling to something like that. And like, it just suddenly justifies all the crazy things that have been said about, like, let's do the shutdown on Muslims. At least that's my thing. It's like, all it takes is, it's so easy to break trust. Yeah. Is what I'm saying. And you already start out with very little trust if you're an immigrant, and if you're like an immigrant of, like, I think the status that you're Muslim and black, like, it's just, it's really hard to go from there, folks. So that's what I'm trying to say. It's really hard. Like, all it takes is one event and bam, the entire community rails against you.
Yeah. I mean, it's identity politics is like kind of the buzzword that a lot of people are taking, but it's not a, you know, it's not just a fad. This is a very real thing. And American identity, in a lot of ways, was the focal point in defining what, I'm saying we in quotation marks, what we are versus what they are is, I mean, that was a huge point of conflict throughout the entire campaign. What does it mean to be American? Trump was able to push his idea of how to make America great again. And that was banning Muslims. That's deporting Mexicans. That's, you know, not eliminating the press, but really trying to shut down the press.
It's also very anti-LGBT, right? There's a big aspect of that as well. The PC culture, in a sense, right, was basically what they were railing against, right? in a big sense. And it's hard to argue that in certain spots it hasn't gone too far. Like some of the university campuses in the United States, you know, it's a little bit crazy.
I can see what you mean. We'll get into that. I think before we get into that, we're gonna segue right into that, because this is where I think there is I'm feeling your vibe here, and we got the song right for it. The song that we're gonna do is actually called "Mad," and it's off the new album by Solange Knowles. And this song, I feel like, kind of encapsulates how people of color feel, at least, like, about being mad. And the thing about being a mad person is that certain people get the privilege of being mad and not being perceived necessarily as a threat, at least to the mainstream. So, like, a white person with a gun can, you know, stand up for their rights, supposedly, like, you know, in a militia kind of way, and get away essentially scot-free, yeah, for the most part. I don't know if there's been any change to that since I last heard, but
still acquitted.
So, yeah, you know, there's mad on all sides, but there's certain levels of mad that are, you know, I would say, more privileged than others. So in order to get that across, we're going to go with Solange Knowles, and then we're going to come back and have a discussion. So stay tuned, folks. You listen to Soul Sandwich right here on CITR 101.9 FM.
I still owe me bucks, so I got the right to get bucked, but I try not to let it build up. I'm too high, I'm too bad or too much, so I let it go, let it go, let it go.
I ran into this girl, she said, why you always blame it? Why you can't just face it? Why you always gotta be so mad? Fucking cap and gown, and I walk up in a bank pan, stack it down, and I laugh at frowns. What they mad about? Cause here come this motherfucker with this mass account that didn't wear a cap and gown. Are you mad cause the judge ain't give me more time? And when I tipped the suicide, I didn't die. I remember how mad I was on that day. Man, you gotta let it go before I get up in the way. Let it go, let it go. I ran into this girl, she said, why you always blame it? Why you can't just face it? Why you always gotta be so mad?
I got a lot to be mad about.
That was Solange Knowles with Mad, featuring Lil Wayne, who, you know, surprise. It was a pleasant surprise to have Lil Wayne come back in an album. I didn't used to be that big a fan of him. I'm just going to put that out there. But lately he's been featuring on tracks, and I've actually been kind of liking it. So I thought, and but of course Solange Knowles also, like, most importantly, like, wow, she is she's really like set a new standard in mainstream. Like, I don't know what to say, what even genre-wise to classify her, because she mixes it up. Like, it's a little bit R&B, soul, mm-hmm. electronic, and kind of like hip-hop, of course. Mm-hmm. You gotta, like, she's just embedded in all of that.
It's so. Neo-soul. Like,
neo-soul. It's yeah. neo-soul, but with hip-hop flavor. Mm-hmm.
She's so much in the trajectory of, like, Erykah Badu.
Yes, yes. That's... Oh, man, that's a good way of putting it. And that's a great thing to know. But let's get into what the song was really getting at, you know, and that's anger, madness, mad, just being really, really upset. And as we were talking during the track, and we're just thinking, like, damn, everybody has something to be upset about. And what it's coming to right now, I'm noticing in our social... I don't know about you guys, but let's be upfront about the echo chamber effect in social media from the get-go. Like, I'm getting a lot of people that are, you know, very upset about Trump winning. I'm not seeing the other side. Obviously, they're celebrating. But before that, they were obviously putting a lot of mad things probably on their social feed. You're getting anger just from both sides of the spectrum. Are we getting into an anger contest?
A little bit, right? It seems to be a complete lack of effort to at least try to understand the other side, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, to a certain extent, we are in Canada, right? But after Trump won, my Facebook exploded, the feed exploded with people who I thought were pretty reasonable being like, fuck Trump. Anyone who possibly cast a vote for him is like a misogynist, racist, evil person, right? And it's like, come on. Those people don't even exist, or if they do, it's in tiny proportion, right?
Well, so I will quickly shut you down on those people don't exist kind of
thing. No, I'm talking about in like pure evil form, right? They're only that, right?
Yeah, that's
and,
a caricature.
And it's like,
form.
Yeah, exactly, right?
No one is one thing.
No, right. That I'll give you. I not the evil part, but the racist, misogynist, xenophobic mishmash is definitely a thing that's gotten more vocal. And in a larger prominence, and you know, in straight up numbers game, there's definitely a lot more vocal about it.
Vocal, yeah. I was gonna say,
not that they weren't feeling it before, but but we got to get to that heart of the issue. They do have rural towns in America are not in a great state. It's just, let's be straight up here, and especially towns that had a once like prosperous manufacturing or coal mining sector are pretty much like, you know, just ghost towns in some cases.
Yeah.
Like the a lot Rust of, Belt. You know.
Sorry, I was just saying the Rust Belt. Like, that's, you know, where Trump made his gains.
Or maybe I say ghost town, not necessarily just in the sense that there might be less people there or something. But they're ghost towns in terms of opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. people are there and they're just, like, kind of living the grind, slowly getting crushed in a way. I'm just saying, like... This is there's definitely white people that are getting that, but then the counter argument will be like, well, there's like immigrants and people of color in minority communities that are also having it tough, but they're not resorting to X behavior or something like that. But so what would we say to those people?
What I would say is that everyone who's living in any community, they're not only just living with the people who are around them, but there's all these pressures coming in onto any community. Now, there's some that are more fragile and more vulnerable than others for lots of reasons. For example, just about any community that isn't white in the United States is going to have all sorts of issues, whether that's, you know, the fear that they might be a terrorist, whether that is being threatening for wearing a hoodie. Like, there's all these, like, racist and sexist structures in play that are affecting them.
And there's sometimes also internal violence. We got to acknowledge that, not, like, maybe not to the level that Trump is like, oh, there is just absolute chaos. Every inner city, like, is like that. But no, I'm not talking about that level, but there is, right?
Yeah, there's absolutely real challenges. And those... But my thing here is that those challenges are legitimate, and people have a right to be very angry about those things. But we also have to be careful thinking about this, because there's all sorts of poor white people who, when they're told they're being a racist, because they support a guy who says he's gonna bring jobs back to them and back to their community, that's what they want, because they feel like they've lost something. And even if, in the grand scheme of history, they're not seeing the fact that with their losses, they're still privileged in ways that all of these other communities aren't, but that's still their life. And when someone is telling them, this is what I can do and I can bring it back for you, and they're told you're a racist for supporting it, to them, they're not saying, they don't feel like a racist. I mean, I'm sure a bunch of them are, quite frankly, racist. Not all of them, but there are a lot. But their position is, there is a level of understanding that we have to take to it.
Yeah, it's a complicated problem. I mean, you can come at it from two things. First of all, they have kind of lost something, and it's something they had no right to have, but they did lose something. Back in their parents' day and their grandparents' day, if you came out of high school with a GED, you could get a well-paying job immediately, right, in the local town, and you'd be pretty much guaranteed growth in terms of wages and promotions over time. And you didn't, I mean, that's been taken now, right? Even if you do graduate in these areas, their graduation rates are much lower than the rest of the country, or certainly the cities. There isn't that job just waiting for them, right? Mm. They come out and they really struggle. Like, they are dirt poor in a lot of ways, right? And they have this, a lot of them have this pride too, right, in their place in their community, and they just feel like they're getting stomped on, right? They have a pride in local, their local thing and their local town, and it's not doing well. And then a lot of them go to serve in the military, right? And the military is not it's an oxymoron within the United States. It's at one point revered, but also at the same time looked down upon by a number of, like, the more liberal towns and cities. They really look down on those who serve. They're like, oh, you're just a cog in a huge machine that kills innocent people, right, at the same time. And so they go overseas, and they think it's for the United, like, for their country, and they serve in conditions that are just often awful, right? And they don't do anything wrong a lot of the time, personally, right? They're just cooking food or, you know, fixing their rifle. A very small percentage of servicemen actually fight. And they come back and they're looked down upon, and they go back to a community that's really not doing well, right? And so it becomes very emotional, and it's hard to tell them that they don't deserve any of it.
All right. So, fine. Working class people who don't have economic opportunity, I get that. All right. I can see how they could get to that extreme point of anger even. But then what about but how do you justify the college-educated white vote right here? Like, this is where things get more complicated. And this is where I'm trying to figure out, like, is it just come down to, like, this political correctness thing? Like, I can't help but think that sometimes, because if you already have money and, okay, the woman is getting in power, oh, the minorities, rah, rah, rah. But, like, if you already are relatively well off, what is your main complaint? Is it really just this freedom of speech thing? Does it boil down to that for the college-educated folks?
It's, to a certain extent, yeah. I think, actually, PC culture is a bigger issue for the same people we were talking about before, right? I think it's been a much bigger issue because they feel like the city elites are telling them how to speak and how to think and how they're allowed to express themselves, and that rubs them the wrong way. For the more educated folk, I think it becomes a more complicated issue about Washington, D.C. and federal government and, like, the levels of government and just how they're not working and, like, the essence of corruption, or, like, the thought about the corruption and, like, the how government's not working, I think is a much bigger issue for them, right? And so Trump becomes, like, especially even for the left-leaning ones, like, people saw how the DNC rigged the whole primary. Like, there was the DNC told debate questions to one of their commentators who leaked them to Hillary's camp three or four days ahead of the debate, and so she came off sounding perfectly prepared, whereas Bernie Sanders was making it up as he went along, right? And just, like, they rigged the whole thing, and so that rankles them as much as anything, and they figure the only way to fix it now, obviously, is not to vote for the establishment candidate. it's to just make the whole thing explode and try to fix it.
Yeah.
Right?
A fuck you vote? So,
yeah. I mean,
are we getting to the fuck you vote
I
now?
I mean, I definitely think there's a bit of the fuck you vote. There's also, I think we have to be honest, there's also people vote selfishly. Sometimes.
Yeah, all right. You know? I heard Anthony, but like I'm definitely feeling the selfishness part like, too. Yeah.
I think that's definitely a part of it. But when college educated white folk are, I think a lot of them are looking around and going, you know what? I don't like Hillary Clinton. I don't think she's going to help me. I think she's going to help other people. Right. And you know, not to go all that's a problem with democracy, but people have every single person's vote counts just as much as everyone else's, and people can choose to vote on the most selfish. They can vote on the least selfish.
Is,
like it's just part of how
what it, democracy allows for. Yeah.
Yeah.
But guys, we've been in that talk mode, but we got to get back into the music mode. And we're getting into like just the likability part about Hillary. But one of the fundamental things about Hillary is that she was a woman, and whether this election. How much of this election depended on just gender identity and like the some of the systemic biases that go along with it is a really big debate. But to kind of blow that debate wide open, I just wanted to play a track from two local artists who I admire so much, who've been coming up lately and are like the definition of strong women. And I think this track, it's called XX. It really just speaks for itself. Missy D and Kimmortal are two awesome local femcees. You should just check them out. Missy D has an album on Spotify. It's called When Music Hits You, You Feel No Pain. It's amazing. So why don't we show some love for our local talent? And, you know, we'll get to the question of how much gender plays a role right after this. Listen to Soul Sandwich, folks. Tune in, stay tuned in. That's right.
Yo, Kimmortal. Yeah, Missy D. I rep that XX. Uh-huh. I rep that XX. I rep that XX. Ride it on my chest. I put my XX hard on my chest. I deserve nothing less than the hard earned respect. Yeah, I rep that XX. They say my words rep the XX. Chromosomes of the unknown, so expect some notes that will reach higher. High temperature, cause I breathe fire. How'd you wanna pause? Recipes of syllables, harder than jalapenos. My claws are present, but I don't like to impose. Sharper than your sixes and your damn stilettos. Stomping on your ignorance, I suppose. Like I got it, brah. I got it, brah. I push it up and elevate my sisters. I take the stage, a woman, but woman empire. This queendom needs no dictator. I rep the XX, ride it on my chest. I put my XX hard on my chest. I deserve nothing less than the heart and respect. Yo, I rep the XX, I rep the XX. Ride it on my chest. I put my XX hard on my chest. I deserve nothing less than the heart and respect. Yo, I rep the XX.
What's the method to our madness? How we exit out your boxes? How can you accept how we don't trip on your XY axis? Pit us one against each other like a cat fight or a contest. Trace a line to a brother, try to validate our success. Some doo-doo, you need some Purex. When I see my girls, it's BFF. Texting XOX and we flex on them mic to fit the mess. History so phallic, our poetry come out of lips. Women, gender benders, transforming the context. Building my own universe, heart hang on a hook and a verse. Woo-ha with my mega tricks. Step to us, get cursed. Cast spells, a misogynist existence. It's magic, it's all in the music. Immortal Mississippi said it. I rep the XX, write it on my chest. I put my XX hard on my chest. I deserve nothing less than that hard and respect. Yeah, yeah. I rep the XX, write it on my chest. I put my XX hard on my chest. I deserve nothing less than that hard and respect. What up, Missy?
The name is Missy D, don't know that at somebody. Bring me back up properly, focus my flow and poetry. The way I twerk the words, I make it perk. Let up any bosses in my nerves, feel the verse. I take him weird pauses, my flow on losses. With the usual flow, though you know it's cautious. Like within these bars are my thoughts, is our scars running deep like Harry Potter. Check my mic, can't let the magic strike. How black I die, blast
fresh, alright? Now let's make sense tonight. I rap for the bold Asians, all ages, all races. Humanity, what complicates it? Us. Society's never down with the minority. Trying to make it clear, call it y'all sobriety. If you hear this, your majority, think about the value, not the currency. Dollar signs don't do the poverty. Human in the mirror, y'all check your priority. Let's get it a little bit better. Live another day so I can't fight for change. No superwoman, I just got my AX hard on my chest. I rep that XX hard on my chest. I rep that XX hard on my chest. I rep that XX. Write it on my chest. I rep that XX.
Oh, Missy D, Kimmortal, laying it down. That was XX from Missy D's album, When Music Hits You, You Feel No Pain. I gotta say something straight right off the bat. You're about to hear three dudes talk about gender. So I acknowledge that right now we are severely lacking. I did ask a few of my friends who are radio peeps are really into the kind of music I'm into to come along, but it just I'm sorry that it just didn't pan out. But three dudes, we gotta talk about the fact that Hillary is the first woman president. Like, there's just no skitting around that fact. And I played that song to just kind of like emphasize that was like two women being like assertive in hip hop. And that itself, in hip-hop, in a musical genre, you've got, like, that, like, difficulty of being an assertive female MC. You have to embody masculine traits, in a way, to, like, really kill it in, like, especially in the world of battle rap, okay? So now we're talking about hip-hop. We're going from hip-hop to politics, and we're on a big scale here. We're talking about presidential election. How much of this can we say is Hillary's fault, or in terms of like how the deck of cards are just stacked in so many ways? Like, she can't, if she's seen as emotional, she's too feminine. If she's seen as unemotional, which she really is, she's seen as unemotional, like a robot, you know, just robotic. Robot. I'm sorry I said that so weird, but the point being, like, she is seen as being stiff, cold. These are the traits that you're saying. And, like, is she really? Or is it just, she's not feminine enough? Like, how much is it a lose-lose situation in some of the ways that she's developed like a thick skin? You could just tell, like, Donald Trump during the debates was just like trying to poke at her, but she was just not having it. And she's developed such a tough shell. But as a result, she didn't really, politics is a lot about charisma, I would say, and she didn't charm like the nation. Which does she have, dude? Would a guy have the same responsibility? And that's where we get into this messy topic. So let's open it up, folks. straight white dudes. I'm sorry. I wish we could have done better in this representation game, but we're gonna try and like tackle this subject nonetheless, because it's important. So, John, you want to take a stab at this?
Yeah, sure. So
it's big. I know.
So I think if Hillary was a man, she would have won. I think that just would have been the case. That said, I don't think she ran a particularly great campaign. I think she had a lot of key issues that I think she attempted, but it didn't resonate. And it's unfair and it's unjust and it's bullshit that because she's a woman, she had to work that much harder to even get close. But that's the unfortunate state of 2016. And it's horrible that, you know, a racist, sexist, xenophobic bully was able to whip people into a frenzy and reject her just from the start. So I think it's hard to deny that sexism was at play here.
Yeah.
But Anthony, come on, man. In terms of experience, it's hard to argue that Hillary Clinton's just so capable. She literally does her homework. She literally does her homework and grind. Has been through the political grind. Yes, she's got skeletons in her closet like anybody would for a career of 30 years, but then, you know, how can you argue against that? That just straight up experience, the resume difference.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't, right? It's a side effect of being the first woman to climb as far as she has, right? She had to fight really hard to get there, and she's been in the game a long time. And to a certain extent, that made her the perfect foil for Donald Trump, because his whole claim is that politics is corrupt and broken. Mm-hmm. And she's never had, she's been very successful, right? And mad respect to her. She's done a very good job. And I would argue she's actually a great, she's great at governing. But the problem, from where I'm sitting, is that she never had, or she hasn't had too many big standout wins. Mm-hmm. She's had a lot of small wins, but she doesn't have that big thing she could point at and say, hey, it's like the Obamacare or something similar, right?
Like no focal point in the platform?
No focal point, exactly. Yeah. And it's, Donald Trump used to take the stage and say she's been there 30 years and she hasn't done anything, right? And it's patently false. But at the same time, it's really hard to prove that. You have to get really kind of, it takes a long time to disprove, right?
That's where Clinton is so good at doing her job that, like, she knows how much nuance goes into policy making and compromise. And she, I think, like, one of the things she can't do is, like, lie about that, the difficulty and the nuance. Like, she's not very good at, like, summing her policies up. Dude, like, she never, what is a major policy that Clinton proposed? Can you remember it? You know what I tend to remember? I tend to remember it's something that she picked up. She will have, she's going to improve funding to education. But she wasn't going to do like a major funding to education unless it was for Bernie Sanders saying, hey, we should do free education for all.
Yeah.
And then she started being like, okay, well, state schools, yeah, like that should be free. So it's like, it's these half measures, you know, so that's how people look at it, I would say.
I think that's definitely part of it, right? I mean, it's not, you know, when I said earlier that I don't think she ran a particularly good campaign, it would have been a fine campaign if campaigning was about talking about your platform. I don't think that's what the American voters were really looking for this round. It wasn't a compelling story. Trump was able to, I shouldn't even say Trump was able to do this. Trump tapped into just a national feeling of establishment versus change.
Yeah.
And Clinton represented the establishment. Even heading into the election, before Trump even ran, it was assumed that it was going to be Hillary Clinton versus Jeb Bush, because people just assume that's the way U.S. politics works.
Yeah.
And build a wall and make America great again are the stories that are simple and resonate and aren't really about anything tangible.
Yeah.
But man, did they get people fired up.
They did, yeah.
Can
I make one more point?
One last point, okay, and then we got to get to the
I'm optimistic as well. I think that a woman could have won the election. I think if someone like Michelle Obama had been facing Trump, she would have wiped the floor with him.
I don't know,
personally,
man.
I'm optimistic enough to say that, think that, right?
Okay.
I think that one of the reasons Hillary lost is because she perfectly represented exactly what Trump was railing against, right? And if somebody had come in like Michelle and she hadn't had that baggage and she had a little more charisma, and you can get into a discussion here about how much that is male versus female traits, but I think if someone like Michelle had come in, you could have seen a woman president, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm optimistic in that sense.
Interesting.
Right?
Well, you know, by getting people riled up, you know, like, it's not just regular folks who are voting. It's also artists who get riled up. And this is what I think is an interesting track. There's a rapper out there. He's called YG. Some of y'all might know him. Now, I'm not YG's biggest fan, but when I heard this next song, I couldn't help it, and he became endearing to me. And it's a simple song. It's just three letters, FDT. That's the track name. That's how you'll find it on Spotify, but you'll soon find out what that acronym stands for. Here's YG with FDT.
Getting no sicker. Woke up one morning and heard this weird-ass motherfucker talking out the side of his neck. Me and all my peoples, we always thought he was straight. Influential motherfucker when it came to the business. But now, since we know how you really feel, it's how we feel.
Fuck Donald Trump. Fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, nigga, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, nigga, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah.
I like white folks, but I don't like you. All the niggas in the hood wanna fight you.
Surprise the nation of Islam ain't tried to find you. Have a rally out LA,
no sir.
Home of the riding king ride, we don't give a fuck. Black students ejected from your rally. What? I'm ready to go right now, your racist ass did too much. I'm about to turn Black Panther. Don't let Donald Trump win, that nigga cancer. He too rich, he ain't got the answers. He can't make decisions for this country, he gon' crash us. No, we can't be a slave for him. He got me appreciating Obama way more. Hey, Donald, nay one that follows. You gave us your reasons to be president, but we hate
you. Fuck Donald Trump. Fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, nigga, fuck Donald Trump.
I don't like your
ass. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah,
I really don't like you, nigga.
Yeah, nigga, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah.
Nigga, am I trippin'? Let me know. I thought all that Donald Trump bullshit was a joke. Know what they say when rich niggas go broke. Look, Reagan so cold. Obama so hope. Donald Trump spent his trust for money on the vote. I'm from a place where you probably can't go. Speaking for some people that you probably ain't know. Pressure built up and it's probably gon' blow. And if we say go, then they probably gon' go. You vote Trump, then you probably on dope. And if you like me, then you probably ain't know. And if you been in jail, you could probably still vote. We let this nigga win, we gon' probably feel broke. You build walls, we gon' probably dig holes. And if your ass do win,
fuck Donald Trump.
Fuck you.
Fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, nigga, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, nigga, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah, fuck
down.
Hold up,
hold up,
I got
something
to say, hold up.
We the you. Yo, that was my main man. He's not my main man, but he's become my main man figure now. YG with FDT. Fuck Donald Trump. Simple as that.
Hey, does the Y stand for young?
You just blew my mind, John. Yo, FDT, like, fuck Donald Trump. That was a fun track. I just, whether, you know, if you, I'm sure it's going to just be salty for people who like Donald Trump, but you got to admit, like, YG, like, he tried to be reasonable at the top of the song. He was like, yo, I like white folk, but not you. not you. That's as simple as that. So.
Yeah, and if you're salty because you're happy Donald Trump won and that song bugs you, you have 4 years of Trump that you can be happy about.
Yeah,
you can take some distance.
But you know what I am happy about? I'm happy about the fact that there's going to be more artists inspired to create things. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're mostly going to lean probably in the direction of fuck Donald Trump, but at the same time, this could be an exciting time for political protest songs. What do you think about that, Anthony? Because I know you don't necessarily, you know, get down with, like, music to the pitchfork nerd music level, but, like, what are your thoughts about what that could do to society? Would that actually change things? Will we get more people, like, politically involved, maybe?
Well, I mean, I hope so, you know? Someone's got to make a song that you can have a rally to properly, you know? You see all these sad rallies of people just being, like, gotten their little cheers going. And
well, for Black Lives Matter, it was definitely Kendrick with All Right. Like, mm-hmm. There's going to be, I mean, Kendrick. Oh, my God. Has anybody heard from Kendrick? I wonder.
I'll check Twitter right now.
Yo, please, I hope Kendrick is doing okay, man. I bet he's the kind of guy who's probably just hurting, but he's going to come up with some brilliance in his next album. And I'm just letting y'all know, like, there is, it's maybe this is more like bronze lining, but at the very least, there is going to be some good art, music, theater, mm-hmm. film, whatever. I think there's going to be great art created. Because the greatest art tends to come from times of strife and struggle. Yeah. That's just a personal thought.
Who would have thought Donald Trump would be the muse?
YG is starting to sound profound. There's something going on. And I think Donald Trump is going to inspire some good art. But, you know, we do need some positivity to end on. And I got two... Okay, we're basically going to... We're sadly going to have to close this show with just three tracks in a row. It's been amazing, you guys, for tuning in. And I'm just letting you know that we're going to do three tracks in a row to close it off. Two of them are Shad tracks, and then we're going to finish off with a Kanye West. Shad is a Canadian rapper, and in my opinion, he, like, just has the right way of expressing, like, the problems that people are going through. And he seems to have a very good way of empathizing with people. And he puts that into his lyrics. So let's listen to Get Up and Remember to Remember by Shad. And then we're going to end off the show with Kanye West's, one of the few Kanye West tracks that has no Kanye at all. And it's called Who Will Survive America, with some inspirational messages from the original and best rapper of all time, possibly, Gil Scott-Heron. You know, famously of The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. So we will end on that amazing note of revolutionary spirit, which I hope will get more people riled up and rallied up. Let's hope, you know, we're going to continue these discussions on Soul Sandwich, but we're going to end with the music today, folks. Here's here's my sign-off. This has been Rohit Joseph, so, you know, Soul Sandwich post-election soundtrack. Thanks for joining me, John and Anton.
My pleasure.
Until next time.
Right. See you soon.
See you soon.
Children need to see Jesus in their weakness and keep seeking where free speech is rare and realness gets kept less frequent than these secrets share. A couple stories like a town home, a brownstone, over loud phones about my hang-ups and dial tones. Swim in heaven and at worst you get drowned, towed down to the place where the clouds roam. So we get up, all my people feeling bored and strange. If you don't feel at home in this conformist state, then don't ignore the pain. That's the Lord the same. Till you stand up, King, you will born to reign. That's the war that's waged. The important things ain't what you die for, it's what you live for. Today we need to get up. Even if they knock us down, they can't stop us. Smile right back at them laughing and get up. Actions speak louder than a thousand talkers, so make them blast that in their Walkmans. Get up. Even if they knock us down, they can't stop us. Smile right back at them laughing and get up. Actions speak louder and talkers, so make them blast that in their office.
Interview a rhythmic crew member who rocks the instrumental with subliminal metaphor beats too unconventional for Disney World record store consumers who forget the whole point of making art is to try and be original. Hip-hop ain't dead, it's just miserable. It's like it kinda just gave up on principle. I'm not sensitive, I'm just sensible. What once was invincible is dispensable. I get it, now give me credit for the edit. Independent, and yeah, I meant it when I said it. I'm a menace to the industry, a rebel with integrity, a messenger respectively. We're fucked and let's collectively we get up.
Even if they knock us down, they can't stop us. Smile right back at them laughing and get up. Actions speak louder than a thousand talkers, so make them blast that in their Walkmans. Get up. Even if they knock us down, they can't stop us. Smile right back at them laughing and get up. Actions speak louder than a thousand talkers, so make them blast that in their Walkmans.
Stop it. That's what my brain keeps telling me ever since I started writing. Fighting myself's a felony. Constantly committed, I should be fitted with an anklet. I'm starving enough to kill to get a seat at your banquet. But come far enough until to see all this rap work vanish into thin air, who sits there and does nothing. Gets that and left back, I saw that outcome coming about a mile away. Cause I done it to myself. I won't say how you should live your life, it's on you. But when you don't feel that it's right and won't do anything to turn it from loose to tight and have tools, it's like, dude, you should say that it's tripe, cause you're screwed. But the truth that you're not, that voice that you've got in your head, that attempt, sabotage, that's a fraud. Try real hard to neglect what it says, take some time to
I
I forget so often, God. No wonder I feel lost when I forget where I came from and how I got past. Now we ain't young, can't play dumb. The fun and game's done. Man, man's a strange one. Reverend, what you say, Ron? Walk this way by the light of the same sun that's in the sky where the rain's from. But the clouds make it hard to see him. He's in my brother. I discovered that it's not so hard to be him. I just lose him in the theme. Thinking if I had a VM, I'd hang with Mona Lisa's like a feast in a museum. Human beings deep inside, we decide if we free men. Remember to remember. Remember to remember. Hear me out. Ooh, you may have to forgive them forever, every day. They say life can make you bitter or better. I say, hey, sacred or not, it's all that we got. Love is what it is, or maybe not what you thought. I woke up one morning, started talking to Pops. He said, there's lots you learned, but a lot you forgot. More often than not, then you don't gotta be taught. Just remember to remember how you got to this spot. Decide, I'm happy and healthy and dreaming and dying. I'm loved and lovely and tired and trying. I'm far and fading and failing with flying colors. Fumbling forward, face to the sky. My aim's to entertain and inspire. Walk through the rain and the fire. Pay bills, keep sane and retire. From the game with a name that's admired. To see the stars and even higher. Remember to remember. Remember to remember. Remember to remember. Can I bring it down for you guys real quick? Check me out. Now I ain't never really been one for image of trying to fool the public with some stunts and gimmicks. Guys, we gravitate to blunts and Guinness to get the courage to fight the urge. And I'm not to succumb to timidness in this world. It's fully overrun with mimics. We defend it for overexposing guns and women. Few deal funds. It's limited folks front to get in the game. They ain't kind. Everyone's a critic with the same. A race to win, so run to finish. And as long as I got breath in my lungs to end it, the enemy isn't a flesh and blood. Thugs and cynics, we fight fear and pride for the love within us. Remember to remember. Remember to remember.
Woke up one night, digging Paul Revere and Nat Turner as the good guys. America stripped for bed and we had not all yet closed our eyes. The signs of truth were tattooed across our often injured vagina. We learned to our amazement the untold tale of scandal. Two long centuries buried in a musty vault, hosed down daily with a gagging perfume. America was a bastard, the illegitimate daughter of the mother country, whose legs will then spread around the world, and a rapist known as freedom, free doom. Democracy, liberty, and justice were revolutionary code names that preceded the bubbling, 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 bubbling in the mother country's crotch. What does Webster say about soul? All I want is a good home and a wife and a children and some food to feed them every night. After all is said and done, build a new route to China if they'll have you. Who will survive in America? Who will survive in America? Who will survive in America? Who will survive in America?
Nothing
singing to myself, I wanna hold your hand.